So after Colorado had its driest and hottest August on record, you know, water issues are certainly on the minds of voters, and certainly they affect Western Coloradans in a lot of ways. So sort of in the elevator pitch version, what's at stake with this ballot question? And maybe another way to think about it is, what would the additional funds allow the River District to do? And what would the consequences be of not getting those funds?
Sure. I think that the Colorado River District, its mission is to protect, conserve, and develop the water resources of Western Colorado for the people who live within our 15-county region. And when we talk about protecting our water resources, it's about protecting water supply for every different type of water user throughout Western Colorado. So everyone from the farmers and ranchers to the kayakers and boaters and fishermen and women, and our urban water systems, as well as our industry on the West Slope. And it's a job that we take seriously for the last 83 years. And the way we do that is with a very small workforce of 22 employees at this district that are advocates for the people and communities of the Western Slope. We are constantly in working at the State House and in Washington, D.C., making sure that Western Colorado's water priorities are being protected. But we're also out in the ground in our communities, helping our water users become more efficient and conserve water and be able to share this water resource among us here on the West Slope so that we can continue to protect and have vital communities here on the Western Slope. And we've seen over the last 10 years a diminishing or flat revenue at the district as we've been hit by a combination of constitutional amendments and a declining fossil fuel industry within our district's boundaries. And so what we find is that at the same time our revenues are decreasing, we are having a significant rise in temperature and in growth in population, not only within our district, but equally, if not more important, on the metropolitan Front Range of Colorado and down in the desert southwest in Phoenix and Tucson and Los Angeles and San Diego. All of those people depend on the flow of the Colorado River, which originates here within our district. 65% of that flow of the river originates here. And as we see temperatures rising in hot and dry months like August, it certainly was the hottest August we've ever seen in Western Colorado. But it's important to recognize that it doesn't stand alone. We've had 12 of the hottest years on record in Western Colorado in the last 15 years. It's a really serious problem we have as we're facing increasing temperatures. There's a direct correlation between rising temperatures and reduced river flows. So we've got to find a way to be more innovative and creative and frankly collaborative with our water resources. And so at the district, we've put together a proposal to help fund a very known shortage of funding for projects across the entire district and across all of our interest groups, if you will. So everything from healthy rivers and conservation and efficiency to productive ag and infrastructure and watershed health. And we're looking at funding multi-purpose projects that will bring significant benefits to different user groups within our community that will also assist in helping us sustain the environment that is so important for sustainable and vital communities. So that's really what our proposal is looking at doing here on the Western Slope.
Great. Yeah, that was a good broad spectrum picture for sure. And so as you were kind of explaining at the top of that, the interests involved in the Colorado River are really diverse, like you said, from the kayakers to the ranchers and kind of everyone in between. So what kind of tensions arise in that diversity of interests, and how can you ensure that your projects kind of work for all these different types of communities?
That's a great question. I think if looking at the history of the River District is helpful to understand why we think we'll be successful in the future. The district was created, again, 83 years ago at the request of residents of the West Slope so that they could have one voice speaking about the importance in protecting water resources. And so the Colorado River District is a really unique form of government. We are an advocacy organization here to serve and protect our residents in our communities. We have no enforcement, no rulemaking authority, no regulatory authority. We are truly an advocacy government. And folks on the West Slope back in the 30s recognized that we needed that advocate, and folks today recognize that. And so what we are, as in the words of one of our constituents, we're a convener. We bring those varied constituencies, the recreation community, the agricultural community, the urban community, together in one place, and we work through really complex water distribution issues and environmental issues, and we do it in a way that is able to protect the entire West Slope. And today, more than ever, the River District recognizes that the environmental community and the recreation community is equally as important as the consumptive water users, the agriculture and the cities and the industries. And bringing those groups together and providing a voice and a place for us to work together. And it's really, really exciting in this time where the politics are so divisive and we're seeing at the highest levels of government just absolute inability to communicate with each other. On water in Western Colorado, we have common ground. We work together all the time. We have 7A, for instance, has supporters from the business community in the form of the Glenwood Springs Chamber of Commerce and the Grand Junction Chamber of Commerce. But they also have American Rivers and Trout Unlimited and the Nature Conservancy and other environmental groups coming together. We have local governments like conservative county commissioners in Garfield County together with Summit County and Eagle County all coming together and saying this organization is absolutely critical for the success of the West Slope. And we do that by making sure that all voices are at the table and that we can truly find these buckets that we're talking about funding of water projects. We've committed to funding them in equal amounts over time and an equitable distribution throughout our 15 counties. Our board is committed to doing that through a fiscal implementation plan that they adopted in the same resolution that they put this question on the ballot. It's a very detailed plan. It's available on the Colorado River District's website. I recommend that anybody who has questions about what the district is looking at and trying to fund, that they go to that website and look at the ballot resolution that was passed, because it has the question and it has this implementation plan and the board's commitment and, frankly, my commitment and the staff's commitment to making sure that we spend this money in a way that benefits all of Western Colorado.
Yeah, I was actually reading through that in parts of that implementation plan earlier today, and I kind of would like to get a little more specific, sort of create a paint a picture, if you will, for listeners to kind of be able to digest a certain project. So I have I lifted this quote about the money. Some of the money will be allocated for partnerships with water users and communities within the district on projects identified as priorities by local communities and basin roundtables. So can you give me an example of a successful project in which this process has been used already in the past? Or can you kind of play out an example for a project you would like to see happen in the future if the mill levy is raised? Is passed.
I can probably use an example that it's an interesting one. Most people in Western Colorado, when you drive down to Grand Junction, you've seen this historic roller dam that is sitting in DeBeck Canyon right before you get into Palisade. There's this roller dam that's there that was built at the turn of the century. That dam is a dam that provides significant amounts of irrigation water to the Grand Valley, and it provides therefore local food and fiber for our communities, everything from peaches and wine to beef. But it also, by virtue of the fact that those are some of the most senior water rights on the Colorado River within our state, it actually acts like a magnet, a legal magnet, if you will, pulling water from the headwaters all the way from Pitkin County and Eagle County and Summit County and Grand County all the way down the river to this roller dam. So it prevents Trans Mountain diverters. It prevents the city of Denver and the city of Colorado Springs and Aurora from diverting more water out of our headwaters. And it brings that water down. So as it comes down to that dam, as the senior water rights are calling, and they're doing that as we speak today, right now, that dam is the calling structure on the Colorado River. It provides boating and fishing river health water. It is allowing our watersheds to naturally produce the water instead of it being diverted and brought over to the Front Range. That dam, as I said, is over 100 years old. It needs lots of work. We recently invested in making sure that they had a working electrical system so that it would continue to function. We know in the next 10 to 15 years that dam is going to need a major overhaul. And we also helped, for instance, put in a fish ladder into the dam. We retrofitted that in years ago to help with the river health and the fish connectivity. But we found a way to help the environmental community and the agricultural community work together and the recreational community to make sure that we continue to have water in our streams and that it doesn't all get diverted eastward. So it's those types of projects that we can point to that are just of utmost importance, but have multiple tangible benefits.
Great. Yeah, that's a good example. And speaking of those types of projects, I was reading that Pitkin County's commissioners voted recently against supporting the ballot question. And I kind of want to give you a chance to respond to one of their critiques, which was that the River District has had a, quote, traditional approach to western slope water projects, meaning things like dams and reservoir projects. And I think in this example, they were comparing it to things like focusing on riparian ecosystems or improving those. So can you speak to sort of this sense of what traditional water projects look like versus more kind of modern ones, I suppose?
Sure. And I will just say that the River District in the 1950s, probably a period between 1950s and even the early 2000s, spent a lot of resources and time and focus on those traditional water projects. And I think that historically that's a valid criticism of the River District. But I would also say that the Colorado River District has evolved as our society has evolved. It may have been a lagging behind and by the turn of the millennium. Today, however, the River District is out in front leading this broad-based coalition of interest groups and people to collaborate and make sure that we have water security for all of our water users on the West Slope. I think the best example locally is the district for decades had these conditional water rights on the Crystal River. That were large dam proposals. That matter came up for a conditional water right renewal in the water court, and the River District in Pitkin County in the early 2000s were at odds with each other in the court. The River District did, in a settlement agreement, agree to abandon all of those dams and abandon those storage rights. Today, the River District is working with folks in the Crystal River to figure out some really important issues, and we're doing it in a way that we think is emblematic of the new way to solve water problems and why I think that the historic divide in these traditional versus non-traditional it is not a fair criticism of the district at this point in time. We look at the Crystal. There are large portions of the population who believe the Crystal River Valley should be designated wild and scenic. So it's really important to keep dams off the main stem and structures. At the same time, we have approved in existing residences that under certain circumstances, droughts like 2018, are short of water, meaning that the the state engineer's office may actually have the authority to turn their domestic wells off in subdivisions. The town of Marble, some of the town of Carbondale's water rights are subject to that. All of those water users got a notice from the state's office that said, hey, you know, you need to find a plan, an augmentation plan to allow you to continue to use water during those really dry years. We were asked by the division engineer, the state engineer, to try to help put together this. It's three counties. It's a diverse population politically, to bring them together and convene and to help see if we can't figure out a solution that doesn't involve dams and reservoirs, but that might involve a groundwater recharge in a riparian restoration area. I think one example that's been floated is a project called the Janeway, which is an idea of restoring riparian habitat. And we could use part of that as to put water in and delay the return flow or recharge the aquifer. So it would bring water into the crystal later in the season and keep those senior agricultural rights in priority, keep them wet, keep the domestic wells being able to produce, and actually put more water in the river later in the year. So it would take water out at the kind of high point of the hydrograph, run it through these wetlands and restored riparian areas, and then bring it back in. Those are the types of projects that the River District is very interested in helping fund, and it's that type of project that we think is important. I will tell you that the county commissioners in Pickens County wouldn't let us come talk to them about this issue. We represent 15 counties. I can tell you I personally, or our government affairs director individually, have been in front of and communicated with all other 15 counties at least once, if not three or four times, over the last 6 months about this issue. Our district's board has been studying our fiscal and water project needs in the district for the last 2.5 years since I took over as general manager. And those conversations have been really thoughtful, creative, innovative, and Pickens County commissioners didn't have the advantage of understanding fully what the district was talking about and why. We had only three, not the entire commission, vote against to oppose this resolution. I will point out that the entire town council of Snowmass voted unanimously to endorse 7A, as did the Roaring Fork Conservancies Board. There's great support among people and organizations involved in the river in Pickens County. But for some reason, those three commissioners didn't feel that they could approve it. And unfortunately, they did so at a meeting where they didn't even give the public or the district a chance to speak.
Well, thank you for responding to that and for bringing up the crystal. That will be pertinent for my local listeners here. That's all the questions I have outlined for you. Is there anything else you feel is important to bring up with voters or for voters to hear that we haven't covered already?
Yeah, I the only thing I would say is I think we're at a point in time in Western Colorado when it's been clearly identified that we have one of the largest, hottest spots in the country, if not the world, centered over Western Colorado and Eastern Utah. And when I talk about that, it's a change in temperature since 1895. So the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or their predecessors, have been tracking temperature since 1895. And you can see this incredible rise in temperatures in centered in Western Colorado and Eastern Utah. And because of that rise in temperatures, we are seeing a decrease in the flows of our rivers. And it is a situation where it requires all of us in Western Colorado to come together and work together to find a common innovative solutions that sustain our communities. It is not the time for us to engage in this divisive fight that we see on so many other political issues. We've got to step up and we've got to work together in order to battle and mitigate and adapt to this hotter, drier, climate change-driven future that we're facing. And it's absolutely critical that we do come together. The River District is a major piece of how we can do that. But there are other important players and other important actions we all need to educate ourselves about and work on so that our communities remain the vital and exciting places that they are.
Great. Well, I think that rounds things out nicely. So thank you for your work, and thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Great. Well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak.